costs, then BriskNet's American Produce Records is for you. Updated in real time and available on demand at BriskNet.com/APR and optimized for tablet and mobile, the APR Online is the place for instant access to a wealth of information on North American thoroughbreds dating back more than a century. The annual price, $275. Visit BriskNet.com/APR and discover why American Produce Records has been the choice of bloodstock and racing professionals for generations and why a new generation is using APR Online.
Well, the first two-year-old starter from the first crop by Majestic Perfection won a $48,000 maiden special at Gulfstream. That was on June 1. It's free. Gave a dead game performance after a trouble trip. Hit the gate and was bumped at the start. Forced to wait for room on the turn. Slipped through on the rail and went on to win. He looks like a colt with a big future. Majestic Perfection is the nation's third leading freshman sales sire at the two-year-old auctions this year. Stands for $10,000 live foal, and the two with higher averages stand for $35,000 and $20,000. A grade one stakes winner that consistently ran 6 furlongs and 108 and change. He set a new track record of 107-1 in stakes. Majestic Perfection is the son of the leading sire, Harlan's Holiday. And did you see that three-year-old filly by Izzistan win a top allowance race at Delaware last Saturday? Keep Crossing is her name. She won by 5 following a 4-length score in a maiden special at Fairgrounds, and her latest win came just 1 week after Izzistan Ford, another three-year-old filly by Izzistan, whipped colts in the Grade 3 Arlington Classic. The Grade 1 winner by Gone West, Izzistan, is sighing runners, $5,000 live foal, and both Izzistan and Majestic Perfection stand at Mr. and Mrs. Baird and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
Horse Tales with Ursula Ellis, the horse capital of the world, bluegrass country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursula Ellis.
Good morning, and it is a beautiful day here at the Thoroughbred Center out on the Paris Pike, and 70-some-odd works this morning, and I think they're about to wrap it up, it looks like, out there. I came in a little early and helped do the little clocking, and it's just fun as usual, and Susie out there in Shirtlet is doing the clocking now, but we like to come in and help her and get in the way or whatever it is.
Whatever. Yeah, happy Belmont Day.
Happy Belmont Day.
Anybody's talking about.
Yeah. Well, what are we going to do today? Keith Crupper's coming in. I was talking to his brother, Alan. Alan trains out here, and Keith, I was talking to Alan trying to get him to come over because they bought some property right close to us. Down on the corner of Brentsville and the Cynthiana Road, 27. And I said, well, I want to know what they're doing with it. I'm nosy, and I want to know what they're doing with it. And he said, I'm going to put Keith on because he had a real good part in that movie, 50-1, which is about mine that birds winning the Kentucky Derby. And here's Keith right now. You're in here early. Well, come on. Well, we'll put you on. Sit in.
Yeah.
Well, grab a chair over behind the door over there, Keith. Yeah, well, good. We'll get you in here and get rid of you.
There you go.
All right. and let's see. Michael Blowen will be in, and we're going to get Steve Moody in to give us the winner not only of the Mint Julep Handicap. What's that? Slow. Oh, yeah, I've got it. I'm going to get to it. What else? I got interrupted over here. Oh, yeah, the Belmont Stakes, I think.
Oh, yeah,
they're running that today. We're going to see what Steve Moody's got to think of it. See who he's going to pick to beat him this time. He picked against him in the Derby and in the Preakness, so we're going to see who he's picking again today. And we'll see what Keith has got to say here in just a second. And we got a little history on the Belmont we'll do, and a little Joe Palmer on the Belmont Stakes. And you got a big announcement. And this is a biggie.
This is huge.
This is a huge announcement. Starting next Saturday, that will be the 14th of this month, this show will move up. 2 hours, we're going to start coming on from 8 until 10. From 8 until 10 in the morning, starting next Saturday. So jot that down and get ready to tune in a little bit early. And they've made some program changes down at Sports Radio 1300, ESPN. And they asked me if I would come on earlier, and I said that'd be fine. Actually, I didn't have much choice. But
there you go. You were being agreeable. Thank you. I will.
I was being agreeable. And, you know, as I wake up at 4:30 every morning anyway, so I figured I'd still make it by 8 if I can get Ressie in here.
Ressie will be here.
Ressie says he will be here. So that's we'll keep plugging it, doing the show. But anyway, starting next Saturday now, the show starts at 8 o'clock and we'll run up until 10. Big announcement. Now, I have Keith Krupper on with me. And Keith, I was talking to Alan out here earlier this morning, and I've been looking at that piece of property you all bought. Get a little closer to that microphone there. There you go. And that's a nice piece of property you all bought there.
Thank you.
Yeah, and you're developing it. I'm fussing at him because you put the post on the wrong side, but that's all
right. I know, right? Isn't that the new way that they do it, though?
No, it isn't the way the new S. Oh, okay. You're more worried about how things look.
That's it.
Well, that's a gorgeous fence. Who did your fencing for me?
Robert Littrell.
Okay.
And he's doing a great job.
Yeah, that's a good-looking fence. Nice.
Is he any relation to Kenny?
Kenny, is that Joe Littrell and that family? Is all the Littrells?
Yeah, he's from Paris, so.
Oh, they're all related.
Yeah, I would think.
Yeah.
You can't talk about any one of them because somebody will hear and it'll get back to him. So, yeah, he's really nice.
He's doing a good job. He's a young kid. I think he's 27 and out there working hard every day. Good to see that.
It looks wonderful.
You tell Keith getting along in a little bit.
Yeah, I know, right?
A young kid at 27.
Kid. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's older than he wants to be.
Is he? We are.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's a nice piece of property there. How many acres do you have in there?
There's two tracks in it because it starts at Brentsville Road. So there was 11 acres in that track and then 77 in the piece next door to it that we've put together there.
So
there's 80.
80, yeah. Now, you have another place on
Jackstown.
On Jackstown.
Up to Adena Springs. There's 96 in that one.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's a nice, nice, good
nice neighborhood.
Good neighborhood.
It is, you know.
You're in a high-rent neighborhood out there.
Yeah, it seems to be.
Yeah. You
know? None of them invited us over for Thanksgiving dinner yet, though.
Oh,
wow. Well, give them time.
There you go.
Well, you start breeding their stud horses over there, they probably will.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they've got some good ones.
They do.
Yeah. Yeah, well, what y'all are boarding and everything over there?
We do. We board and sales prep and fold-out mares, and we try to assist people in picking who they're going to go to and just do day-to-day everything from start to finish with Alan being here at the training center.
Yeah.
We're capable of handling all parts of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you got a barn on that place near us?
Yes.
Where is it?
There's a brand-new 16-stall barn up on the hill there.
Oh, okay.
You go down, I guess when you come out of Brentsville, you turn left towards Cynthiana.
Yes.
And then it's the first driveway. I'm going to drive down there and take a look at it one day.
Yeah, it looks great.
16-stall barn.
16-stall barn.
You all didn't build that, did you?
No, it was already there. Parker Barnes built it.
Was it a horse barn? Or?
It was.
Yeah. Oh, well,
nice. There have been any horses on that ground that we could find out of, and it all got reseeded. So it's a brand new farm. And, you know,
that's
obviously
nice.
There's been good horses raised across the road at Runnymede and Sunnyside.
Yeah.
So we always try to, if we get a new farm, we try to get it in the location of, with no horses on it, but in the close proximity to where really good horses have been raised.
Well,
we've lived out there for how many years, and there's never been horses on that section.
Yeah.
Never. In fact, that section on the corner has hardly been used, truthfully.
Well, that's right.
Yeah.
You got a good neighbor there in Mr. Jones.
Yes.
Yeah, he's a nice fella.
Yeah, there's some good people there.
Yeah.
We know a lot of them through Brentsville already. And, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Now, tell me about this movie. I didn't even know they'd made a movie about Mind That Bird.
They did. Mark Allen and them, you know, made a movie, and it showed in Lexington for 3 weeks, I think.
Is it still there?
No, it's moved on.
How do we miss that, Jackie?
I don't know.
I went and seen it. It was good, and it was, you know, they Hollywooded it a little bit, but for the most part, it was pretty accurate, and it was certainly fun to see, and... You know, I had a guy play me there. Bob Jesser played my little part. Lasted all of 20 or 30 seconds, but...
What was your little part now?
My little part was just that. They called wanting... Ralph Kinder called me from Oklahoma. He's now moved here. But he called and said that Mark wanted an Oaks Philly. And I said, well, let me make a couple of phone calls here and see what we can find. And I made one phone call to Stuart Angus over at TaylorMade. And he said, hey, I don't have a Philly, but I had a colt come across the desk this morning that... Travis White had brought in. It was for sale. It looked to be the champion 2-year-old in Canada. And he said, I think he'll win the Kentucky Derby. And I, you know, just off the top. And I said, well, if he's going to win the Derby, we'll just take him. All right. So I called Ralph back, and they put a contract together, and I mean, it really went that easy.
Wow.
You know, it was a pretty smooth transition, and, you know, looked at one horse.
Yeah.
That was him.
That's amazing.
Is that right?
Yeah, they flew Chip up there to look at him, and, yeah. You know, Chip called.
So you owned him at one time?
No, yeah. I didn't own him. I was just kind of bloodstock.
Oh, you bloodstock. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but these cruppers do it all.
You know?
Yeah, they wheel and deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't keep up with them.
You know?
Yeah.
So it was really just a courtesy phone call, and it just kind of worked out, and we picked the right horse.
Yeah. Well, sure well did. You, what about you in the movie? Did you have a pretty good part in there?
It was. Bob Jesser called up and just called Mark and said, hey, you know, I know you've been wanting a good horse, and I've got the horse. And Mark said, well, you know, I only do quarter horses. And he said, well, this is the thoroughbred that you want. And
yeah,
it just kind of went from there. And then it picked up with Chip going to see the horse.
Yeah. Well, that's fun.
That is.
How long did it take you to do that? I mean, just do they shoot it over and over and over?
I didn't play my part. They had somebody play me, so I don't know.
Oh, okay. You
know? Oh, okay.
Yeah, they just had a guy do me.
Did you appear in it at all?
No, I did not.
Oh, I was going to go see
funny.
It.
Yeah, no, I wasn't.
Why didn't they let you play yourself?
You know, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe you weren't pretty enough.
I'm sure that wasn't the case.
Oh, you got a face for radio.
Yeah,
you know? Got a face for radio. Yeah. Matt Howard said over here. Yeah.
There's always somebody in the background, right?
Yeah, right. Around here there is.
Yeah, yeah, that's
you
right.
Know. Yeah. I got to take a little break. I'll get right back with you. And let's see where we are. All right. Well, last Saturday in Pennsylvania, the $200,000 Mountain View Handicap was won by Last Gunfighter. Last Gunfighter, a five-year-old. He is by First Samurai. It was the first start of the year for Last Gunfighter in his seventh stakes win. Early wins include the Grade 2 Hawthorne Gold Cup, the Grade 3 Pimlico Special, the Grade 3 Philip Island, and the Grade 3 Excelsior. He's won stakes at six different tracks, and he's earned $1,140,205. First Samurai is also the sire of Lee, winner this year of the Grade 1 Dawn and the Grade 3 Hal's Hope. And Apropos, a winner of the 2014, this year I should say, of the $100,000 American Beauty Stakes at Oaklawn. And she's placed in the Madison Stakes, that's Grade 1 out of Keeneland. First Samurai is a Grade 1 Stakes winner by Giant's Causeway. And did you see that first time started by Stroll, win by 4 Churchill on May 30th? Bred by Claiborne Farm, she's another runner from the first cup, side by Stroll, upon his return from Europe. Stroll is a Grade 1 Stakes winner by Pulpit, sire of the 1-2 sires of on the North American sire list as we speak. East Stroll stands at Claiborne Farm for $5,000, and First Samurai, a stablemate at Claiborne, stands for $15,000. Pay those fees when the foal stands and nurses. Inquiries to Bernie Sams at 859-252-4252. See the website at claibornefarm.com.
Well, we moved to Bourbon County about 26, 27 years ago, I think it was, and we were recommended to several, the church and all that kind of stuff. And for sure, the friends recommended the Hopewell Company. They are an insurance company, and we've been with them ever since. Lots of experience working with horse farms and racing stables, and they understand what happens and the liability you need if something gets out on the road. And they also cover home and barn and vehicles, and our horse trailer, bless its heart, is as old as I am.
Not
and,
quite.
Like I said, the liability. They've been right there whenever we needed them. A year, what, a half ago, I guess, we got struck by lightning, and every wire in the house was singed. And we were afraid to turn anything on or off. We were, you know, pretty spooky. Things were going on and off by themselves. This is how spooky it was. We called them, and they were over right away. They came over, and they looked, and they said, uh-oh, yeah. You got to rewire the whole house. By the next day, they had taken care of the claim. They had gotten the company that's the most reputable in town to come over, took care of it. Because they work for you, not the insurance company. The insurance company doesn't want to pay. But when you go through an agent like the Hopewell Company that has people insured with these insurance companies, the insurance company hop up because they don't want to lose the Hopewell business. And Hopewell doesn't want to lose your business. So they're the best. Now, they'll give you an estimate on all whatever you want, a no-cost estimate. No obligation. They'll review and compare what you've got now. So that's the Hopewell Company, 820 South Main Street in Paris, 987-2347. Or Lexington, 254-2431. You get great service guaranteed.
That's Joe and Ted McLean. And Ted is trained. I don't know if you've met Ted or not. He was an assistant trainer to Lucian Lauren when the head secretary, as a matter of fact.
Really?
Yeah, isn't that neat?
I asked him once, says, what made that set that horse apart? And he says he could do things other horses couldn't. Just that simple.
That's the truth.
Well, the Clay Ward Agency has been insuring the world's finest thoroughbreds for over eight decades now. That's a long time, believe me, I know. Matter of fact, I think Mr. James Clay Ward founded that firm in 1931, year 21, 20 grand won the Derby. So that would be 83 years ago. Of course, James Clay Ward's gone, but the business he established right there in the middle of the Depression. Well, he was successful because of his hard worker and his service and his knowledge of the thoroughbred horse business. And those traits are carried on right now by Shaq Parrish and Bruce Isaacs and John Hess. Great people to do business with. They know what they're doing. They're professionals in the finest sense of the word. And that's the Clay Ward Agency in Paris. It's 859-987-1861. And, of course, they're affiliated very closely with the Indian Creek Farm, which is also over in Bourbon County. And they have a tradition there, too, and their tradition is for raising runners and for selling top-quality bloodstock at the major sales. And they've raised and sold six champions, so that's pretty good. So the top horses that they've raised and sold, long list is long and impressive and growing, as a matter of fact. So give them a call if you're looking for a place to board your mares or sell your horses over at Indian Creek. Talk to Shaq Parrish or Nikki Dryan. And the website is IndianCreekKY.com. The phone number, Paris number, 987-7443. I'm talking to Keith Krupper. And I met Keith out here back when I was clocking at the Thoroughbred Center. And his brother, Alan, got a stable out here. But I think at the time I met you, you had a piece of property on the corner of Hume Bedford and Greenwich.
We did, and that was a rented farm. We were there 14 years, and that's the farm that we're moving off of now.
Okay.
I rented that farm back in 2000, and that's when I called Alan and said, I've rented a farm. You want in on this? And he said, well, we don't have any clients. And I was like, well, I mean, we got to have a farm to get clients, so let's do it. And I was working at Toyota, and Alan actually was working at Frank Shoup's then, and he's like, okay, I'll quit Frank Shoup's and you keep going and you stay on the phone and see if you can get some horses. And I called every loose friend that I had and asked them to send me a horse to board. And I was very fortunate. And Nathan Fox sent me one mare that we still have. And it just kind of went from there. And obviously since then, the family's grown. And, you know, my son and my daughter, Kyle and Rachel, have helped us. And they're working for us now, and it's just kind of exploded from there for us.
Family operation. Did your family?
Yes.
Had been in the horse business before?
Yes. My parents had a boarding farm. My mother actually pinhooked Farm Away with Freddie and Nancy Mitchell.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so they've been, you know, friends of my family's forever. And
good people.
Good people.
Yeah. And, Fred is one of the top horsemen around here. Boy, they raise a lot of horses.
They do raise a lot of horses, a lot of good horses.
How long have they been sitting on that piece of property over there?
100-plus years.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, there's they're not.
Mr. Meyer did a good job of setting it up, and it's a lovely piece of ground.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So did they send you some horses, too, or did no?
Yeah, everybody, we were very fortunate in it. Everybody that we knew sent us a horse when I called begging for a horse.
Yeah.
So it worked out well. And
didn't take you long to get going in.
And that wasn't too bad. I mean, there's obviously been tough times going across it.
And both of you were married at the time?
Alan was, I was, and I've gotten remarried since then.
Okay. Have kids?
Yes.
Yeah.
I've got two.
that's tough to you know, quit a good job, and, you know, and just
it was scary. You know, it's kind of like jumping off the deep end the first time off the high board, but
yeah,
you know, after you hit the water, you really got to come up and swim, right?
That's one way to look at it.
You know, so that's kind of what we did. And
now, how many acres did you have there?
There was 125 fenced off.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, okay. So we did cut back on the amount of acreage, total acreage, a little bit. But I think with the horse business, it is kind of contracting it.
Well, with two farms, you haven't cut back on the total acreage.
About 20 or 30 acres between the two.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Huh. Who's got that now, that property? There's still horses on it.
There's ours. We're just gathering them up off of it now. We got the last group to come off this weekend.
Oh. Now, who owns that land?
Polly Hilliard.
Okay.
And her family.
Uh-huh.
It's family owned.
The Hilliard family.
Yes.
Trotting horse people, weren't they?
Yes. Yeah. I think they had, what was the farm? It wasn't Castleton, the other one.
Wait a minute. I'm trying to think of it. After Russell Cave?
They're on Newtown Pike.
On Newtown.
Horse Park backs up to it. It's a huge farm. We're both going blind.
Walnut Hall.
Walnut Hall.
Oh,
yes.
Cool, yeah.
Yeah, that was their place.
Yeah. I used to go swimming in a lake over there.
Yeah.
When I was a kid. Not very often because the lake wasn't very deep.
But right, yeah.
But anyway.
Slimy on the bottom.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, right, yeah. Well, that's fun. So you're just now getting your horses off and
then moving over to the new place. And
When will your new place be ready, you think, for horses?
Oh, we've put horses.
Got them on there already?
As Robert finishes the field, we're moving horses into it. So, I mean, as soon as he gets done painting one, we'll finish up, and he's got, I don't know, maybe a couple of hundred feet left, and
yeah,
and that'll be done, and all of them would be over there.
Yeah. And the first thing I saw you put up on Brentsville there looked like it was a garage or something back there, or a storage room, or
yeah, what? Alan and his wife make tack, so they put up a little tack shop thing where they just build tack; they don't sell tack out of there.
I see. It's just something to do in his spare time.
Something to do in his spare time, like any of us have any spare time,
yeah.
But.
Yeah.
You know, they make the halters and stuff like that that we use.
Well, that keeps him out of trouble.
Yeah, they do a good job.
Yeah. Okay, and now you've got a house there.
He does. He ought to be actually moved in it here in the next 3 or 4 days.
Is he going to move in it?
He is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. How many kids does Alan have?
They don't have any.
Don't have any?
Uh-uh.
You've got two.
I've got two.
Yeah. Okay.
If they're not kids anymore. Kyle's 25 and Rachel's 23.
Good God.
You know? I know I am getting long in the tooth, aren't I?
I mean, you don't look old enough.
I had the first one at 13.
Oh, okay.
You were precocious.
Yeah.
He was dangerous.
Dangerous, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, do you own a place over on Jackstown?
On Jackstown.
Yeah, and how many acres is that?
There's 96 there, and when we bought it, it didn't have any horses either. And, luckily for me, Alan gets to put all of those together.
Yeah.
So he built that farm, and he's obviously overseeing the new farm, and
mm-hmm.
It's going good. Alan's a bit of a perfectionist, and
is he?
It works out good.
Yeah. Pretty good horse trainer.
He is a good horse trainer.
Yeah. And what was that nice horse that he picked out of the sales that he got real cheap?
Tiz Chrome,
yeah. Tisway.
He's a Tisway colt out of a Woodman mare.
Yeah, okay.
And we got lucky there, and that horse came out and ran good, and Bob Baffert's people liked him better than we did.
Well, yeah, but they had to come up with it, didn't they?
yeah.
That probably bought your farm.
It really helped.
Yeah, well, you know? Yeah.
It was a good time for it to happen.
Yeah, yeah. Doesn't happen like that very often.
No, it does.
What did y'all pay for him?
$5,500.
Yeah. And I know you got mid six figures for him.
Yeah, it was a good sale, you know.
Well, he won first time out at Churchill, didn't he?
He did, and when Alan threw the jockey up on him, I heard him tell him, look, you've got to go for this one. So when the gate flew open, they went for the wire, and that horse wired them.
Yeah.
You know, all the way, and by the time we were getting our picture took, you know how it goes, they were hollering over the fence at us. You want to sell that horse.
Yeah, buddy.
You know, he was pretty and he done it in a good fashion.
I'm trying to think of his name. It had something to do with flashy.
Tiz Chrome.
There you go. Hey, another Chrome.
Chrome.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like
that.
It's
a sign.
I'm going to name my next one Chrome something.
Yeah. Chrome anything.
Yeah, just Chrome.
Chrome. There you go.
Yeah, it's got a deal to it.
Now, you all have any mares of your own?
We do. We've got about 20 or 25. Woo. I don't know.
Jeez.
Probably more than we want to admit to our mother that we own.
Yeah.
You know? Of which we are cutting up into pieces if anybody would like to have some.
Oh, there you go. Hey, always
selling. Always selling.
That's yeah. Right.
You know?
Well, that's fun. Who do you breed to? Do you breed to?
Yeah, no, we used In the Mischief this year. Two mares went to Morden Ready.
Oh, wow.
Bodie Meister. We used Windstar horses a lot this year.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, they've got quite an array of stallions over there.
They do. Yeah. You know, all price ranges.
Yep.
Like they've got something for everybody.
Yeah. I like, of course, In the Mischief is Spendthrift.
Yeah. Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Spendthrift. And we used him 2 years ago when he was, you know, 7,500.
Yeah.
Did you get in on that share of the upside program?
I did not.
Boy, that
no, I think there's only like 8 or 9 of those out there.
Yeah.
No.
Somebody got lucky.
Somebody got lucky.
Yeah. What's his fee now?
$20,000 and yeah. Book full.
Yeah. Gee whiz. Yeah, book full.
Yeah.
Well, he's a Harlan's Holiday, and that horse is gone.
He is, and I mean, he's a very good horse. And,
yeah, absolutely. Know,
looks a lot like his sire.
Yeah. That's real good.
I have a hat.
You got
that says Into Mischief. That's all I got.
Yeah.
We're told to get into mischief.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, fun. Well, it's good. You're almost a neighbor, you know. You know where we live.
I do.
Yeah. Okay. We're just not a couple of miles from there.
Yeah.
There's a crow fly.
Go by there all the time. That's how we go to Paris.
We'll come in for a cup of coffee one morning.
Well, you too.
For one afternoon.
Yeah, there you go. Well, where would we go? To the main farm or going and pester Alan?
Go pester Alan.
Go pester
Alan. Okay. Yeah, pester Alan. You're welcome to mine, but pester Alan.
He's never home. Where do you live? You live in Paris?
I live on the farm on Jackstown.
Oh, okay. So you live on one farm, he lives on the other.
And he lives on the other.
Yeah. You have a manager out there, or are you it?
I kind of oversee it, and then at this point, Kyle manages one farm, and Rachel manages the other one, and Alan oversees the training center up here for us.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
You know?
What barn's he in over there?
Barn 3 on the backside.
Okay. How many you got training there?
I think there's 6.
Okay.
You know? It got up where there was like 45 of them, but we kind of cut that back.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You know, when his farm started over. You know, Alan gets all of those jobs, so.
Yeah. Well, that's great.
Always looking for a couple, though.
Well, Michael Blowen's arrived, so I'm going to let you go.
All righty. Thank you. It's been fun.
All right. Well, thank you. It's Keith Crupper from good old Bourbon County, boy. And you met Michael Blowen, my old friends. Haven't you met him? Michael, hey, there you go. All right, well, let me see, where are we here? Yeah. The mare sent the first defense since his first crop came out running. Reads like a who's who of racing. Grade 1 winners, Grade 1 producers, list just goes on and on. Covered 117 mares just last year, many of Judmon's finest. If you have a first defense to sell when runners from his last few crops hit the races, watch out. Give Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry a call out of Judmont. The number out there is 859-272-7629. And there have been many mayfolds, you know, that went on to win major stakes. And if you have a really nice mare, there may be room for you. First defense stands for 15,000 live foal. Also standing at Judmont is the Grade 1 stakes winner and, like first defense, proven Grade 1 sire, Mizzen Mast. Fact is, Mizzen Mast has sired 6 Grade 1 winners. And he has a unique distinction of having sired 2 winners of Grade 1 Breeders' Cup races in the same year. He stands for $20,000 live foal. Once again, call Garrett Walker in Fry at Judmont Farm and see the website at judmont.com. All right, Jackie.
Oh, Sally Van. Sally Van runs.
Sally Van, they're on their way to pick up Cat Launch over at the clinic, and he's coming home today. He went in there they're looking at his feet.
Oh.
Yeah.
What's wrong with him?
Well, we're not quite sure yet, but it's nothing terribly serious. They've got it under control. Now he's got a little
booty. All 4 on. Or 1 foot? 1 foot? All 4? What? 2? Front, back? What?
Front.
Both fronts?
Mm-hmm. Huh. Well, bless their hearts.
Not a founder, though.
No.
Well, okay.
No, not a founder, nothing.
How long
no
did he
have? No rotation. Year and a half.
Yeah. Okay.
You know.
Well, it's spring. It's a lot of green
grass. Thank goodness Sally Van's on their way to pick them up and bring them home.
Yeah, good old Sally Van. They've been in business for 60 years. During that time, some of the greatest, many of the greatest runners ever step on a racetrack have been on Sally Vans. And Sally Vans, they're the best. Their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. They build them themselves. But the best part about Sally Vans and safety is the ability and experience of the guy behind the wheel. They're very proud of their drivers at Sally Van. They're experienced drivers and experienced horsemen, and that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's cross-county or cross-country or going to Belmont Park or going to Pony Club. When was that my phone barking at me?
Yeah.
Down. When you load your horse in a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. And, you know, when we were breeding a lot, we always called Sally Van, and I just rode along, and the driver just took care
of everything,
it.
Did he?
Absolutely. Yeah. And they wouldn't have it any other way. That's why for more than half a century, Sally Van's been the safest way to the winner's circle. They're 255-9406.
Well, May 31 at Santa Anita, the Grade 1 $350,000 American Oaks was won by Room Service. And that same day at Churchill Downs, Regally Ready, also by More Than Ready, won the opening first stakes. The American Oaks was the second straight Grade 1 win for our Room Service. She won the Grade 1 Ashland Stakes at Keeneland last spring. Prior to the Ashland, the homebred Gary and Mary West filly had won the Grade 3 Here Comes the Bride Stakes. In fact, she's never been out of the money in 7 career starts, and she's earned $546,565. Now, Regally Ready has accumulated in earnings of $1,423,518. He has won 5 stakes, 4 graded, including the Grade 1 New Arctic Stakes, and the inaugural running of the now Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint. Bred by Grape Stock, he is a $110,000 graduate of the Keeneland September sales. The top 20 sire again this year, More Than Ready, is the sire of 6 2014 stakes winners and a total of 130 stakes winners and counting. More Than Ready, $50,000, doing a full stint of nurses at Windstar Farm. Call Darren Fox, Sean Tugel, or Kyle Wilson, 873-1717. See the website, windstarfarm.com. All right, Michael Blowen has made the scene. He's over there getting ready to handicap something. I don't know what it is. All right, who's going to win the Belmont today?
Well, we have old friends' connections to a lot of horses, but I really hope California Chrome does it.
Oh, I do too.
Yeah. Yep. Would not be disappointed.
Haven't seen anything move like that in a long time.
Yeah.
His body and his head are just as straight, and his legs move. There's no wasted motion anywhere.
No, he's very smart. He knows what he's doing.
Well, and he's just got that move. You see it in some dogs. You see it in some humans. The less his head bobs up and down and the less his body goes banging around, the more energy he's got going in his legs. And it's just beautiful to watch him.
Yeah, he's pretty way of moving.
Yeah.
Hope he wins it too. I think he will.
Yeah. Well, I've thought that so many times with so many horses and I never cashed a ticket.
Yeah.
I hope he does. I really hope he does. Dale Roman's horse, I think, is going to show up today. The Metal County should be about 30-1.
That's Spencer's horse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, people worried about him not running on dirt, but, you know, he's a dynaform. He should run all day. And I was speaking of not having his head moving, watching him glide over the track. It looked like he found his home when he was working out the other day at Belmont. I mean, he looked great on TV.
Is that right? That's what
I
really have to see
that.
Works. You have to see
yeah.
works.
But anyway, they replayed Saravis Belmont when he beat Medaglia d'Oro and Warrigal and all of them.
You've got Saravis.
Yes,
you?
I do. He's on the cover of our little magazine.
There you go.
he's our cover boy. And so whenever the Belmont Stakes pop up, I get very excited because they always play Tom Durkin's call, where he starts screaming towards the end, it's Medaglia d'Oro and Saravis, Medaglia d'Oro and Saravis, two horse race. It's Sarava, the longest shot in the history of the Belmont Stakes.
What was it? What were the odds?
So he paid $144.50.
Oh, I love it. That's fun.
We never had one
pay. We had one pay right close to that.
Not a Belmont winner, but
ours
was River Downs.
There you go. Well, there you go.
Oh. Actually, it was Beulah Park.
No, it was River Downs. That was that horse of, that little chestnut horse of Alice.
Oh, Alice. Yeah, Alice.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well, I know what he paid exactly. $126.20.
There you go.
Well, remember that time we took that mare up
that to... I remember.
Don't you remember the time we took that horse up the Belm up to Beulah? And we sat there and watched, and that horse did not run like that horse could run at all. We had this little girl rider on. So we were really down in the mouth. I mean, that thing was... It was awful. So I went and watched the replay. She was so far out from the rail. She was at running, that mare, the filly at the time, she was running her where the track had not been worked. She was that far out.
Holy
we went
cow.
Back up there with a different rider and won.
Yep.
And I thought she paid $134.
No, she paid $42. I remember that one, too.
Right, wow, it's unbelievable. Right, I don't care what they say. I think he's got a fine memory.
Yeah, I think he's making it up like the rest of the stuff.
Hey, I went to River Downs last weekend. I went up to Belterra Park. I had a ball. I just had a ball.
Did you? That horse that I was telling you about, did you ever find anything about him? You went home. Forgot it.
No. I put
Joe
the word in up
horse.
There. Yes. Yep. I talked to John Englehart, who's the racing liaison up there between the corporation and the track, all about it. He's on the case, so keep an eye on him.
Yeah.
I
don't think you're going to get him yet. But
No, he's doing well.
Yeah.
But eventually...
Yeah, at least I think he's 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I know he won his last race by 12 lengths.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
I thought he was 9, but what do I know?
Well, maybe
he's old.
Yeah, he's got a little long in the tooth, but he'd won 4 stakes at 4 different tracks.
Yeah,
and he's earned $560,000 or something like that.
He's a really classy old horse.
Yeah, that's the first time they ever dropped him down that low.
Well, we had a horse drop down low at Suffolk Downs. A couple weeks ago, named Marco. Yeah, pretty much they do. Named Marco Be Good, and he earned over $500,000. So he's up in our farm in New York now, doing really well.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
And we just got Eldopper, the horse who won the Breeders' Cup Marathon.
Oh yeah, I
holds
think
a track
did.
Record for miles.
He won
quarters.
The first one, didn't he?
He won in 2010.
Yeah.
No, that's just 4 years ago.
If I'm not mistaken, he was at Chester House. But I believe it was by Chester House. But
no, AP Indy.
He's an AP Indy? Mm-hmm. Okay,
well,
now there was a Chester House that went there, and I thought he won the first. Maybe it was the second that he won. You know, they canceled that race.
I know. It's too bad. He still holds the track record for a mile and three quarters at Churchill Downs. I don't think they're ever going to run a mile and three quarter race ever again up there.
Yeah.
No.
So he's... It's really funny to see Secretariat holding the track record for a mile and a quarter and Eldopper making it, or Eldopper, sorry. I keep mispronouncing it.
Oh, yeah.
I called Kent Barnes.
Did you?
To make sure that, because he was bred over at Shadwell.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
And he told me the pronunciation. He also told me what it meant. It means victorious.
Oh, yeah, you put that on Facebook. I read that.
So that was pretty good.
Yeah. How long did that horse race?
Let's see, 5 years. A $25,000 claim earned over $1 million.
Okay.
Diane Alvarado claimed him down in Florida.
Yeah.
And she did a marvelous job with him. I mean, he got his rest. He got what he needed. This is the funny part of the story. He was running. They put him in a grade 3 stakes up at Turfway on the grass, one of those marathon
Not
distances.
Turfway.
Mm-hmm. Not on the grass.
That's right.
Unless he was in the infield.
Yeah, right. Well, let me see.
And probably spray painted.
Oh, I'm confusing. Yeah, you're right. It couldn't possibly be that. But anyway, I'm just trying to remember what I can from Steve Haskins' wonderful article he wrote in the Blood Horse after he won the marathon. In any case, they sent him to. He was going to run in a Grade 3 stakes race, and they sent him from Florida up here, and he went nuts. He was stall walking and sweating, and his eyes were bugging out. So they called back from Florida and said, "Hey, what's going on with this horse? He can't run a race. He can't even sit still. He's not going to have any energy left. He's going to be sleeping." And they said, "Well, that's funny." He said, "His pet goat's doing the same thing." So they put the goat on an airplane and flew him up to the race, put him in the stall, and 2 days later he wins the race.
And the goat ran second.
Yeah, not only that, the goat came with him on the Sally van.
Oh,
two goats. He's got two goats.
Oh, funny.
Google and Yahoo.
Oh, funny. That's cute.
And so I didn't remember that the goats were going to come, but I got a great call from Sally Vance, and they said, Michael, he says, we got this horse for you. He's coming over this morning. Yeah, he says, well, no, they called the previous evening. He said, he's going to be over there tomorrow morning. He's like, okay. I said, yeah, whatever you want. He goes, well, you know, he's got two pals coming in with him.
Uh-oh.
I said, he does. I said, he says, yeah, two goats.
So now
he's got the two goats. But I'll tell you, these goats are hilarious. And you don't have to lead them around or anything. They're like two celebrity bodyguards. One gets on one side of the horse, the other gets on the other side of the horse. You lead him in and out, and the goats just come with him wherever you go. You don't have to do anything.
The tourists will love it.
Oh, they already do.
Yeah.
Silver Charm, our little miniature horse, who has been the hit of the tourists, has some serious competition now, and he's not pleased.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, you turn the goats out with him, too?
Mm-hmm. They
stay in the paddock?
Yeah.
They eat out of his feed?
No, they have their own goat feed.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. That's my phone.
Oh, that's okay.
I wondered what that was.
I thought maybe it was the second coming or something.
Yeah, that's my phone. I went to see Dr. Byers earlier this week.
Yeah.
And we had a nice chat, and he asked for everybody, so.
Hello to
that's
Dr.
Good.
Byers.
Yeah.
Hopefully he's listening.
I told him now we've got to get up an hour early because he, you know, hasn't been on the show for a few weeks and the ratings have plummeted. So they knocked us into today's show's time slot.
Next thing you know, we'll be on midnight.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, are you prepared next week for the early version?
Oh yeah, I am. Today I was a little late because we had most of the volunteers, of course, everything's compressed today because of the Belmont. Nobody wants to work this afternoon. We got a couple of buses coming in, so yours truly is going to handle those and do all that. So, and then one of the buses that was supposed to come at 9 showed up at 8:30. So I did that tour. So
there was a bus here earlier this morning.
Yeah.
We're talking about it earlier. I wouldn't hurt to repeat it again. Next week, starting the 14th, next Saturday, the show will be on from 8 to 10.
It's decreed by the higher ups, but I like it. I think
it'll be fine.
Fun.
Yeah, I do too. I like it.
But there's always more stuff going on out here than you can believe.
Yeah, that'll be good. You can do double duty.
Yeah, somebody works really fast, we'll tell you who it is.
Yeah, you have to stay tuned for some hot tips.
Yes.
So, do we know who Steve Moody likes today in the race?
No, but I'm going to get. I want to see who he's going to pick to beat him this time.
Okay.
He picked against him in the Derby. Picked against him in the Preakness. So you know Steve's going. You know when the horse is 3 to 5.
Yeah.
That Steve is going for something else.
Yeah, I hope he wins, but it's not a betting opportunity.
No, it's
some of the other races are though.
What a card. Listen, what's the one Closed Hatches is in? Closed Hatches and that other, the filly that won the
Dion's in there.
And the filly that won the Oaks
Lady
is in there.
Lady of Sylmar.
Lady of Sylmar.
Princess of Sylmar.
Princess of Sylmar, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the one that caught my eye. I thought, holy cow.
Well, it's fabulous. It's a great card. That's one of the best cards of racing I've ever seen.
Ever.
Yeah, it is.
Ever.
Yeah,
it's just amazing.
You know,
you got the Manhattan.
And I got to go home and mow.
You got the Metropolitan with Palace Malice and a nice field.
I know.
Marino,
really nice
Central
horses.
Central Banker and Normandy Invasion.
It's like the Breeders' Cup.
Then my discreet Mark, who's out of a marquetry mare, who's going to be the... Going
to
be the favorite.
He has to bring it up, doesn't he?
Of course he should.
We're all over this.
Yeah.
No, the seventh race is the Ogden Phipps. That's the one that closed.
That's the one in Princess of Sylmar. Look at that field.
And Beholder.
Yeah, Beholder.
Beholder.
I said Beyond.
Good.
Beholder. Beyond.
Beholder has an interesting old friends connection that I know the audience is going to be very, very interested in.
Oh, on our
So if you just open up your eyes and drink a little more coffee, I'll explain this to you. Beholder is out of a mare named Leslie's Lady.
Okay.
As is Into Mischief.
Uh-huh.
As is a horse that we got named One World. And
sounds like Fred Mitchell's breeding to me.
Yeah, you're right.
Yes. Yeah,
see, he's smart. You know, I don't care what you say.
I wasn't too smart. I called her Beyond. Beyond was a filly that raced back in the, 50s or 60s.
See, that case jumping up on him.
She was by Citation, you know. So.
Well, Beholder is another spendthrift horse.
Yeah.
Pardon?
Beholder is another Spencer at work. But anyway, we had a horse named One World that Jerry Moss had, and he was in the middle somewhere between Beholder and...
Great.
Yeah? Not if you're Jerry Moss.
Well.
But anyway, he's a nice horse, and now he's at Auburn. We sent him down to Auburn. He's working with the vet clinic down there in their breeding operation.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Teaching all the teaching vets get to...
How old is he?
I think he's only like six. He's
young. Yeah, that's a good.
And he's beautiful. He's really nice. So
he really shouldn't be.
So that's our connection to Beholder, of course.
Hold up a second. You can give me the other connections. I'm going to talk about Jazzle, who won the Classic Grade One Belmont Stakes. So did his half sister. Of course, that would be the champion filly Rags to Riches. Jazzle's a proven sire now of graded stakes winners. A Comediante by Jazzle won his third Grade One race back in April. Came right back in May, third week in May, to win another stakes race. Already a horse of the year in South America. He's won eight, been in the money in 14 of his 16 starts. Comediante is just one of eight 2013 stakes horses, five of them group stakes winners, three of them greatest stakes winners by Jazzle. Jazzle, of course, by Seeking the Goal, one of the greatest female families in the books. And he stands at Shadwell Farm. Give stallion manager Kent Barnes and talk to him about a season to Jazzle. There's nothing wrong with a May foal, and because he was originally scheduled to go South American, but instead stayed in Kentucky, you just might be pleasantly surprised when you talk to Kent. Kent's number out there is 224-4585. Also standing at Shadwell are Breeders' Cup champion Albertus Maximus, his first full yearlings, and the proven sires of graded stakes winners De Hair, Interdab, and Invisor. The number again is 224-4585, and check the website at shadwellfarm.com. And no, Jackie, I haven't got those broken halters over to Quill intact yet, but I'm going to.
He can read your mind.
You know that they had a thing. We got invited, and last night was granddaughter's graduation. That's where we were. But Quillen and downtown Paris had something where somebody came and cooked. They said it was really a nice thing.
Is that right?
Yeah, but we had graduation, Lafayette High School.
Four-point student.
Wow.
Yeah. Obviously, they didn't take after a grandfather.
Well, talk about the gene skipping a generation.
Yeah, exactly. No doubt about that. I was a C student at best.
Get me out of here, anyway.
Anyway, but Quill and Tack is a great leather and tack shop. You know, I mean, the nation's largest, as a matter of fact. They ship out over 17,000 halters a year, and that's just the ones that they ship out. Great products, and they do all our repair. And we buy halters over there. We bought, I don't know, God knows how many halters we bought.
They got muzzles, too, for grass.
Yeah.
That's the grass is too good. You got all these fat things out there, and you need to put those. They're called best friends.
That's what I need, a muzzle.
Yeah.
I haven't seen my toes, and I don't know how
But they've got them, and you can hook them on to the halter kind with Velcro, or you and they've got them made that go up over their ears like a halter, if that's what you want. If you
they have just about they halter. Have about everything you need at Quill and Tack and Leather. It's easy to find them too. If you're going into Paris, go to the third stop right and look to your left, and I guess they had that party you were talking about last night down at
the beer joint. Rooster Brew.
Rooster Brew.
That's a great name for a beer place, though, the beer joint.
The beer Perfect. Joint, yeah.
Says
yeah,
it
yeah.
all.
Yeah. Yeah. But God knows he's got enough different kind of beers down there. It'd take you, you know, I couldn't live long enough to sample all the beers he's got down there.
I was having a beer the other night, and I thought of another fundraising idea.
What?
And what it is you know, Rosie Naprovnik's on our board of directors.
Right.
And she does a lot of stuff for us, and she's unbelievable. So what I'm going to propose to her when she gets back from running today in New York is that we go around to a bunch of biker bars and she could challenge these guys to arm wrestle.
Oh,
imagine how much money we could get betting on her.
Yeah.
Oh, she bam, bam, whoa. Then we'd have to get out in a hurry. It'd be like the hustle.
That's funny. You know, Wait a minute.
Let me finish my commercial here for Ralph.
Okay, Ralph, we're getting to you, buddy.
Okay, Ralph.
We'll get Rosie to arm wrestle Ralph.
There you go. Now
Ralph talk. Might enjoy it.
Yeah, I think he would.
She's a cute girl.
She is.
Anyway, go to Quillin.com. Quillin.com. You'll find out all about Quillin Tack. Now, the Daily Racing Form Sunday edition is, of course, now on your newsstands. And there's an article in there, Joe Neville, talking about a turn away from stamina in breeding. And, you know, been a lot of talk about that. And I think, Jackie, we've talked about it ourselves, you know.
About what?
A turn away from stamina and breeding.
Oh, I know.
All the speed now. One of the reasons I think it The Triple Crown, haven't had a Triple Crown winner in, you know, 36 years. And John, and of course, John Sparkman's got an article in there. And he's writing about the mares that have produced three or more classic winners. And boy, there's not many of them.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. I know the Dam of Jazzle had two. But Belmont winners, as far as that goes.
Oh, yeah, rags to riches.
But the Daily Racing Form Breeding Edition is always, you should get it. There's always something in there that's interesting. You can learn from it. As a matter of fact, go to drf.com/breeding, and you will find every day they got articles in there, something new pertaining to breeding, like the sales calendars or the breeder of the week, the broodmare of the week. Consigner of the week, and John Sparkman's columns. I think it comes out on Friday also. So anyway, that's Daily Racing Form Racing's Bible. You can't go along with the Daily Racing.
And you don't have to worry about Michael stealing yours because he's already stolen Ursula's.
Yeah, there you go. Now, you can't have my today's, though. I got to go.
No, I got my own today's.
Are you going to go to Keeneland for the race, or are you going to stay home?
I'm going to go and bet it at Keeneland, and I'm going to go home because there's lots of tours coming in and out. I'm going to have to run in, watch it on HRTV or TVG or wherever. I want to see a lot of these other races, too.
It's I do, too.
Embarrassment of riches.
Who's carrying it? What is it, ABC?
NBC.
NBC, that's 18.
Yeah, but they don't start till 4:30, I don't think.
Yeah. So I think I think they're concentrating.
Well, prior to that, you can get it on either one of the other races.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so it's a great day, and it's a beautiful day at Belmont today.
Yeah, they said it was going to be 76 and beautiful and sunny and everything. It's on all the networks. I mean, you know, they've got people out there.
It's amazing what one horse will do to help racing.
Yeah, they
send one horse out, and all of a sudden everybody's rooting for them. The ratings will go through the roof. Attendance, they might break the attendance record that was set when Sarava ran. I'm told it was. No, I think they're going to get over 120,000 people, and Belmont, they can handle it.
Yeah,
they sure can.
I turned on National News, the Weather Channel, you know, and they had a segment there on a race. Yeah. They would predict, you know, about had pictures of him galloping and everything. And they were talking about how the trap, what a beautiful day it was going to be.
People want to see the stars. I mean, that's been the thing at Old Friends. I mean, they, you know, we've got some other horses that weren't stars, but they come to see the stars.
And, so they talk about it. Remember
exactly. I mean, I remember going to the Belmont when Point Given won. It was a really great day. And then I actually saw Sarava win the Belmont, but I didn't know I'd end up with him. But
that's funny.
I went there, and I still have my $2 win ticket somewhere on War Emblem.
That's what they said on Fox News. People are buying $1 win tickets, and they're not going to cash them.
Right.
They're keeping them for a souvenir if he wins. I think that's fun. You know, how places like Churchill and Belmont that are so huge for big days, and then they look so empty on regular racing. I think they should take cutouts, wooden cutouts of people from the top half, and put them in the backs of all the seats. So when the camera goes by, it looks like they're crowded. What's wrong with that idea?
I don't know. Well, it's deceptive for one thing.
Well, we don't care if you're stupid enough to believe it.
You could have those inflatable figures they used as extras in the Seabiscuit movie.
Yeah, that's true, but there's not enough of them, and they could deflate.
Well, I'll tell you what. I was at when I went to Belterra Park last week, River Downs. They're right. The grandstand's completely shrunk. But it was a beautiful day. Yeah, I mean, it's small. It's a very, very small seating area for outside.
Is it outside or in?
Outside.
Outside.
But the inside, the simulcasting place is really great. They have a lot of big screens, very comfortable places to sit. They have a bar there with 100 beers on tap.
Uh-huh.
Take a while to work through that, wouldn't it?
Yeah, about an hour and a half.
That's not as good as Ralph's. That sounds like a voice of experience. That's not as good as Ralph's, though.
By the time I got through up there, I really didn't care whether I was winning, losing, cashing. I didn't care. I had a great time.
Here's
the interesting thing, and this is why, you know, people don't go to the races as much like they used to. So they don't have to go to the races. They bet on their phone. They bet on their computers. They bet through TVG or HRTV or Keeneland Select or Twin, whatever it is. You know, they all bet through that sort of thing. So actually going out and going to the races is not a prerequisite to being, you know, involved with the sport.
Yeah.
And so when they're building these new places, They're very comfortable seats. The sight lines are great. They're almost all right on the finish line.
Are they in the shade? Do they have a roof over them?
So yeah, a roof over all of them.
Okay,
so they're out of the rain. I'm not sure about the shade part. I can't remember. It was a pretty sunny day. But it was a beautiful day, and there was probably only 500 people sitting out there. Because those are the people who want to go to the races and want to have fun and want to see everything and get involved that way, which is the way I like to do it. But we're in the minority now.
Do they charge to get in now?
No.
Yeah.
No, they didn't at River either.
No charge for parking.
Yeah.
No charge for...
The
food is excellent, by the way. Had one of the best.
Always.
So they have the Hofbräuhaus in
there? No, this is, I'm telling you.
Hofbräuhaus.
Forget about the way it was. I mean, it's really good now. They've got a steakhouse in there that's unbelievable. And they got... And they've got a hamburger place where they have what they call their prime rib burger that is really unbelievable.
Yeah.
So, and they got salads. They got the food was really good. And they deliver it to you. And then they have a woman who comes around. If you're at the simulcast and you're sitting there, she'll come around and take your bets and everything, just like they do at Keeneland during the meet.
Oh, wow.
That is good.
Let me interrupt you for a second. Got to catch up. I'm behind.
There you go. And they're off.
And they're off. Listen to this. You're not going to believe this. The first Foles by Warriors Reward, a 2-year-old, and he's batting 1,000. 3 starters, 3 winners. All 3 won at first asking. All 3 were fillies. All 3 won maiden specials. And all 3 won on the same day.
Oh, my goodness.
I have never in my lifetime seen that happen before. His first crop stood. 3 starters, 3 winners, all maiden fillies, you know.
I'm sure it's never happened.
All on the same day. Unbridled Reward, a $330,000 graduate of the OBS March sale bred by Hawkers and Sandra Sexton with Silver Fern Farm, won by 7 3/4 lengths at Churchill Downs. Leatrice, bred by John Gunther, won by 3 3/4 lengths at Pimlico. Strawberry Baboo, bred by Liberation Farm and Brandywine Farm, won by 2 3/4 lengths at Lone Star. So guess who's the nation's number one ranked freshman, sire? Warriors Reward, a grade 1 stakes win by Medali Duro, stands at Spendthrift Farm. On May 31, I got it all. A 3-year-old son of Tiz Wonderful won the $100,000 Springfield Stakes at Arlington. His score follows by just 7 days the win of Tiz Naz, another son of Tiz Wonderful, in the Grover Buddy Delp Memorial at Delaware. Tiz Wonderful is a sire, 11 stakes horses, 6 stakes winners, 3 graded stakes winners in his first 2 crops. Tiz Wonderful, an undefeated multiple graded stakes winner at 2, one of the most precocious sons of Tiz now. Both Warriors Reward and Tiz Wonderful stand at Spendthrift Farm. Inquiries to Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, or Mark Toothacker at 859-294-0030. See the website at SpendthriftFarm.com. I want to talk a little bit about Lubricin and Reborn. It's a couple of products that I happen to believe in. Both were developed by Dr. Steve Alday. Both are endorsed by owners and trainers and veterinarians, and both incidentally are all natural and test free. Now, Lubricin, a friend of mine, Matt Tierney, called the other day wanting to find out where he could buy some Lubricin, and I told him to go out to see you, Michael.
Great.
And he said he was going to. He used to own a Leatherwood farm right up here, right up the road here on the left. Yeah, anyway. Lubricin sustains the integrity of the joint fluid and helps reduce cost and reduce the cost, you know, for acid injection, those kind of things. And Lubricin is used on a regular basis by Todd Pletcher and Tony Dutrow and Jerry Hollendoffer and Mike Maker and a whole lot of other trainers. And, of course, they make it for humans, too. And Jackie uses it.
Yes, I do.
And
I do, too. You can still hop over those fences.
I know.
Hop over the fences. It take more than that.
I don't jump very high, but I take it.
Yeah.
Well, hop is a generous word, I guess.
Yes, it is. Crawl.
Well, Reborn is 100% sterile, whole concentrated natural bovine colostrum. And it's safe and easy to use as a dietary supplement. What it does, it strengthens the immune system in horses. Good to start your foals on it. Of course, a little late for that now, but you can put it on. Well, they're bigger foals now.
We give it to our retirees.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Well, mm-hmm. That's great. Well, there's another testimonial right there. And it, as I said, it supports the immune function and it promotes quicker recoveries from sickness and prevents sickness and so forth. 2 great products. Lubricin, go to lubricyn.com, or Reborn, reborne.com. And I think they're both used by Wise Dan. It's Charlie Lepresti uses them. So, mm-hmm. And you can buy them at Old Friends, KBC, or Horse Sense down in Versailles. So. All righty. And May 31 in Pennsylvania, the $100,000 Pin Oaks was won by Interrupted, a three-year-old filly by Broken Vow, bred and owned by Pin Oak Stud. Interrupted has won three of her four starts. She won her first two starts as a two-year-old, both at Law, and placed in the Grade 3 Florida Oaks in her first start this year. Then turning a dead game performance to win the Pin Oaks, she's the 60th stakes winner by Broken Vow, also represented this year by the brilliant Rosalind. She was won the Grade 1 Ashland Stakes. Broken Vow stands for $25,000 at Pin Oak Stud, home also of Alternation, Cowboy Cal, Sky Classic. Multiple graded stakes winner, Millionaire Alternations, and he's about to start at humor. Stand his first season at stud, he stands for $7,500. Cowboy Cal is the five stakes horses, including a Grade 2 stakes winner, Mr. El Nino, in his first crop. Cowboy Cal is a multiple graded stakes winner and millionaire by Giants Causeway. He stands for $5,000. Sky Classic, he's sired 59 stakes winners, over 100 stakes horses. He also stands for $7,500. Fees are payable when the foal stands and nurses. Inquiries to Clifford Berry and Nancy Stevens. See the website at pinoakstud.com. What?
Today's Kent Wilkins' birthday. If you see him, say happy birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, nice. Kent.
Yeah.
Yeah, over at Spencery Farm.
Yep, yeah. That's him.
Yeah, better be careful. If you call him, though, he'll sell you a season.
Yeah, yeah, be careful.
Well, they have good deals over there. Yeah, I like their whole operation. Mark Toothaker has been very helpful to us.
Well, the three of them, he and Dez.
Dez is a good guy, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, the that Breed Secure program and the On the Upside program, that gets mares to horses. And you can't make a stud horse unless you fill their books, you know.
Sure.
And that's a step in the right direction. And the people over at Spendthrift Farm are willing to bite the bullet just to get good mares to their studs, and that's how you make a stud horse.
Yeah.
That's what
it's very smart.
Yeah.
It's very creative, too. I mean,
it is creative.
After all these years, you know, somebody comes up with something new. And one of the things I wanted to mention about the article that you mentioned about in the Daily Racing Report for tomorrow, Joe Neville's article, I think it is, isn't it? Did Joe Neville's write it?
Yeah. Which article are you talking about?
The one about stamina.
Oh, yeah, that's Joe.
Yeah. Anyway, some very good remarks by Will Farish and some of the other, and Eric Hemelbeck over at Adina Springs talking about stamina influences and their stallions. It's kind of interesting.
Uh-huh. Well, you know,
you're just showing off because you read it.
They got four Breeders'
Cup. Well, I could only remember it for 5 minutes, so I thought I'd better say it quickly.
They got four Breeders' Cup winners standing over at the Dina Springs. You know, four winners of the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Plus, they got another one coming in next year, and Mucho Macho Man, he's going to stand there, and that'll be five. Plus, they've got a sire, two sires of Breeders' Cup Classic winners. That's quite a collection. You know, I don't know. So they'll have five winners of the Breeders' Cup Classic and two sires of winners of Breeders' Cup Classic.
Yeah.
Amazing stuff.
Everything over there has won over $1 million, you know, themselves. You know.
And they're beautiful. I mean, the place is gorgeous, and they take such great care of them. I went over there to see Giacomo and Awesome Again and Go Zapper and quite a group over there.
Yeah. Keith Krupper, who was just in here, he and Alan own a farm right adjoins them.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Said, boy, said, nice neighborhood.
You're in a nice, nice.
Exactly.
Location, location, location.
Exactly. I don't know if they bought that place prior to Dina Springs moving from
I think this is recent.
On the west side of town or not.
I don't know.
So if they get Mucho Macho Man, they have Macho Uno over there too, right?
That's the sire.
Yeah.
So they're going to have both. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is summer. What's your next do coming up?
Well, they're going to do a lot of stuff up in New York.
Oh, so
okay. Looks like starting in July, they're doing Joanne Pepper, the woman and her husband Mark. They run the Bobby Frankel division up there, and they're going to do a big party at the Polo Club.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'm not going to make that, I don't think, because it's early in the season. But then at the Washington Inn a little later on, I think on August the 8th, there's a wonderful guy named Sonny Taylor who's been the official timer at Saratoga for 50 years.
Oh, funny.
You know, he remembers sitting at Ursel's knee.
I was waiting for some kind of crack.
anyway, We're going to give a big party to celebrate his 50th anniversary.
Oh, that's good.
At the Washington. So that should be a lot of fun. And we're working on something else that I'll explain next week early in the morning, because we might have a little bit more together by then. But it's going to be with the most fun fundraiser we've ever had.
Here or there?
Here.
Oh, good.
Oh, good.
I'm hoping that we're going to have it over here at the theater at the training center.
Yeah, that's a good place.
That's
to have
a beautiful
stuff.
Theater.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. It's just handy and nifty and all that kind of stuff, and they have great catering too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
a real well-run place. It's
actually, I'll tell you what the fundraiser. I'm going to get to stand up in the middle of the stage and tell stories. I think it'll be fabulous.
You mind if I don't come?
No, I'm only kidding. That's not the idea. Please, I can hear the few radios that are still on. Oh my God, not that.
No dose available at the door. No, what I was going to tell you about Rosie Dubrovnik. I don't know if you do this, but Woodford Hounds had invited Steve Cawthorn to hunt.
Yes.
And he did, and he got off, and he said, well, I'll never do that again. And they invited Rosie, and she jumped off and said, that was fantastic. She loved it. She's fearless.
She is fearless.
She is absolutely
fearless.
A little difference in age there, too, now. I think Steve's starting to wise up after all these years.
Well, that's true, too.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, she is fearless. She just, she drives those horses like she was,
And she'll run out and do stuff at the horse park for people, too. She does it for everybody. She loves
these horses. She really does. Yeah. In fact, they're doing a big thing today at Belmont for a Thoroughbred Aftercare. The Racing Forum Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance are sponsoring this booth up there where you can get your picture taken with California Chrome. They put it on the backdrop.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
So you can get for $10 buck donation to, I think it's $10. Let me double check. I think it's $10. I'm not sure. But it's cheap. You get a 4x6 photograph, and 100% of the 100% of the proceeds go to Thoroughbred Aftercare, and it's all promoted by
you getting a piece of
by the Shermans.
Oh, well, that's that aftercare thing.
Mm-hmm.
Michael gets some of that.
Yeah. There's more than 20 retirement groups that are and retraining groups that are now certified. So they collect the money this year, and then they'll give out the grants next year. But everybody's applied for their grants and accredited, and it's a very tough process to get through. But once you get through it, it's great because they've helped us enormously.
Yeah.
Hey, it's the top of the hour break. I'm late.
All right. Well, I got to go anyway because I've got some people that are going to come on tours, and we're going to let people get their picture taken when the horse has already won the Belmont Stakes.
Don't take my phone.
Oh,
man.
Yeah.
That's my son. That's your Sunday form. No, this is my Saturday form that I brought with me.
Oh, okay.
Resses.
I got to keep my own resses. There's more resses got. All right.
Somebody's got it. Well, at least he knew it was gone.
Yeah.
Mine's right here. Right beside
it. All right. Well, Urzel, thank you very much.
All right, Michael.
Have a great Belmont. Everybody come back safe, and hopefully good news all around.
Goodness.
We'll celebrate next weekend.
There you go. Thanks,
Michael.
See
you at 8 o'clock.
That's Michael Blowing. Thank you, Michael. Well, there are four winners of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic standing at Edina Springs. Alphabet Soup, Awesome Again, Fort Larned, Go Sapper. There are also two sires of Breeders' Cup Classic winners. Awesome Again is the sire of the Hall of Famer, Go Sapper. And Macho Uno is the sire of last year's Breeders' Cup Classic winner, Mucho Macho Man, who will become the fifth winner of the Breeders' Cup Classic to stand at Edina Springs next year. Nowhere in the world will you find such a collection of Breeders' Cup Classic winners. Most recent to retire to Edina Springs is Fort Larned. He's standing his first season at stud for $15,000, doing a foal stands and nurses. Fort Larned was a brilliant racehorse. He earned over $4,471,000. He posted a 117 buyer the day he won the Breeders' Cup Classic, and he owns the best buyer figures, best equibase figures, and best Rogozin stats of any stallion retired to stud this year. A superb individual. Your inspection is invited, of course. Just call the farm at 859-987-1798 and see the website at adinastallions.com.
From the Republic Bank Studios, this is ESPN Sports Radio 1300, WLXG AM Lexington. Republic Bank, it's just easier here.
Well, the first two-year-old starter from the first crop by Majestic Perfection won a $48,000 maiden special to Gulfstream on June 1. It's Free gave a dead game performance after a trouble trip, hit the gate and was bumped at the start, was forced to wait for room on the turn, slipped through on a rail, and went on to win big. He looks like a colt with a bright future. Majestic Perfection is the nation's third leading freshman sale sire. At the two-year-old auctions, he stands for 10,000 live foal. and the two with higher averages stand for 35,000 and 20,000. A grade one stakes winner that consistently ran six furlongs of 108 and change, set a new track record of 107-1 in stakes. Majestic Perfection is the son of the leading sire, Harlan's Holiday. And did you see that three-year-old filly by Istan win a top allowance race at Delaware just last Saturday? Kids Cross Keep Crossing was her name. She won by five following a four-length win in a maiden special at the fairgrounds. And her latest win came just 1 week after Istan Ford, another three-year-old filly by Istan, whipped colts in the Grade 3 Arlington Classic. And Grade 1 winner by Gone West, Istan, $5,000 live foal, and he's siring runners. And both Istan and Majestic Perfection stand in Mr. and Mrs. Barrett and C. Jones' Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
Horse Tales with Ursula Ellis, yeah, the horse capital of the world, Bluegrass Country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursula Ellis.
All right, well, we're starting a second hour late. Starting a little bit late. We're 10 minutes into the second hour now, and while I'm up here, let me remind everyone again that next week we're on early. From next week, we start at 8 o'clock in the morning. We'll go to 10, and that is a permanent time. We will be on from 8 till 10 from there on,
okay.
Right here in the old Crocker stand. And boy, I tell you what, it's going to be pretty hairy because it gets really busy around here at that time of
the morning.
I
think it's fun.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah, I can hardly keep from watching it, though.
I know.
I'll let you do the show while I clock.
Okay, that's fine with me.
All right.
I may throw in some cooking tips.
Uh-oh.
All right, you want me to do some announcements?
Yeah, no cooking tips, though.
No, okay. Masterson Equestrian Park, as announced, the ring is back open. It was closed for renovation, so now it's open. You can go out and use it. I want to mention Kenny Littrell. He owns Arlington Tree Service, and they came in and took away all the cherry trees because it's a bad year for cherry trees. They raised all the low limbs on the driveway. They cleared the fence row, one where we're next to a cattle farm, and that between the plank fence and the cattle fence, it gets to looking like Vietnam. So they cleared that. They trimmed the trees away from the house. They cleaned up the debris, and they got rid of the hackberry and the cherries from the fence line. They did all this at extremely reasonable, I hate to say what it is over the phone, but I think they were there for 2 days, and he came out on the first day and gave us a quote, and I don't know that he knew how long it would take another day, but they, by golly, he said no surprises. He said what he quoted, and that's an honest deal. So give Kenny a call, 293-0288. Now, Saturday, July 26th is a long way off, but it's hats off day. At the horse park, it's hats off to Kentucky's Horse Industry Day. You get into the horse park for free, and if you get there early enough and they don't run out, you get a hat, like a baseball cap, for that. Maybe have a horse farm on it or something. Anyway, it's wonderful. It's great. It's a super day at the horse park. They have all kind of, they have the Grand Prix, for one thing. It's a terrific horse show day, and it's just super. You'll enjoy it. Mark it on your calendar. If you want more information, always call the horse park, or you can call Rude and Riddle, 233-0371. Today at the horse park is the 7th. It's the end of the Pyramid Society Egyptian Arabian event. And they're in the covered arena, so all that flimsy stuff they wear doesn't blow away. I'm sure that's it. Today is the last day of Ichthus. It's at the campground. It's a music festival. It's a Christian music festival. I think most of the people are from Wilmore, so that's a good thing. Also going on right now, Kentucky Air Number 1 Hunter Jumper Show. It's in the Hunter Jumper Complex. There's a little spider right on my paper. I was reading that sand to him. Today is a big day for cross-country schooling at the horse park. It's $35. You can ride from 9 till noon or noon till 3. Well, if you want to pay twice, you can ride all day. But that is so much fun. They don't have many of them. They just have a few in the summer. And I've done this before. There's nothing like going around riding around those monster jumps that they have that they use for Rolex, and here you go on your pony and just enjoy the heck out of it. So that's good. And coming up, Country Air number 2 Hunter Jumper Show, June 11th to 15th.
Last Saturday in Pennsylvania, the $200,000 Mountain View Handicap was won by Last Gunfighter, a 5-year-old horse. He's by First Samurai. It was the first start of the year for Last Gunfighter, and his 7th stakes win. Early wins included the Grade 2 Hawthorne Gold Cup, the Grade 3 Pimlico Special, the Grade 3 Island, the Grade 3 Excelsior. He has won stakes at 6 different tracks, and he's earned $1,140,205. First Samurai is also the Sarve Lee winner this year of the Grade 1 Don Handicap and the Grade 3 Hal's Hope. And apropos, winner this year of the $100,000 American Beauty Stakes, that's at Oaklawn, and placed in the Grade 1 Madison Stakes at Keenan. First Samurai is a Grade 1 Stakes winner by Giants Causeway. And did you see that first time starter by Stroll win by 4 at Churchill on May 30th? Bred by Claiborne Farm, she's another runner from the first crop sired by Stroll upon his return from Europe. Stroll is a Grade 1 Stakes winner by Pulpit, sire of the 1-2 sires currently on the North American sire list. He stands at Claiborne Farm for $5,000, and First Samurai, a stablemate of Claiborne, stands for $15,000. Those fees payable when the foal stands in nurses. Inquiries to Bernie Sams, 859-252-4252, and see the website, claibornefarm.com. I want to talk a little bit about my good friend, Hill Parker, and his lovely bride, Reagan, and they own... They're in the real estate business, been in the real estate business for about 12 years now. And let me give you the website right up front. It's lexhorsefarms.com, lexhorsefarms.com. And their phone number in Lexington, 859-608-8039. Now, these are real horse people, Hill and Reagan, and they know all about horse farms. And if you're looking for a horse farm, they can tell you exactly where what you're looking for. They can find what you're looking for, and they'll look until they find it. They've got a great website to go to it, but they've got present listings now from every county in central Kentucky, and some on the edge out there too. It's an outstanding variety of locations and sizes and prices. I mean, they've got them from a couple $100,000 up to in the millions, and they're wonderful people to do business with. They've got some nice property down in the Bourbon County area, a couple of them close to where we live. And there's one over in, on Ironworks Pike over in Georgetown. And they've got one over here in Briar Hill Road down in Paris. It's a reasonably priced turnkey operation, 48 acres. It's a lovely place. And they're nice people you can trust. And so I would suggest that you give them a call. At 608-8039, and I really suggest that you go to their website at lexhorsefarms.com, and they work real hard for you, and they're people that you can trust. That's Hill and Reagan Parker, lexhorsefarms.com.
And they have a 22-acre farm.
Wait a minute, go start all over again.
They have a 22-acre farm listing for lease. 8-stall barn, run-in shed, black plank fences. Just call them if you're interested.
There you go. All right. And that number again is 608-8039. And T's Deja Vu's first starter is T's Deja Vu's first winner. May 26th at Gulfstream, Miss Deja Vu, a 2-year-old filly from the first crop by T's Deja Vu. Won a career debut by 4.5 lengths. If she's anything like her sire, she'll keep right on going. T's Deja Vu was a brilliant miler, but he had the stamina to place in Grade 1 stakes going 1.25 miles. He is the leading graded stakes winner in the USA by Hall of Famer T's now, a top 10 sire again this year. 'Tis deja vu, won 4 stakes at Churchill Downs, 3 of them graded stakes, plus graded stakes at Arlington, where he also placed in grade 1 stakes. He was a front runner. Catch me if you can style, beautiful to watch him. Stands for $5,000 doing a full stance of nurses. Stands at Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm. Your inspection's invited. And while you're over Crestwood, ask him about the many services they have available there. It's a great place to board. And they're, of course, regular consignors to the major sales. Give them a call at 859-272-3770 and see the website at crestwoodfarm.com. You taking a break?
Yeah. Do you want me to add a few more announcements?
No, that's all right. I'll do this.
Okay. And then if you need me to, I can do them again later.
All righty. All right. Well, I've got something I want to read from Joe Palmer. And he's written, it's Belmont Stakes Race today, so he's talking a little bit about Belmont Park specifically. So here we go. Announcement of the Belmont Stakes entries started a few chains of thought, and these started a bit of rooting in the records, and this led to the conclusion that may seem strange to you. The birthday of modern American racing is the Bronx, New York. It was born there on September 25, 1866, with the opening of fabulous Jerome Park. This takes qualification. Governor Ogle had introduced racing in the English style in Annapolis in 1747. There had been racing in New York at least as early as that. G. Washington was taken for a package at Alexandria, Virginia in the early days of the nation. Lexington, Kentucky had a race course in 1829 and had racing of sorts before that. The Carolinas had a lot of racing even in colonial times and long after. The Metairie race course at New Orleans was famous many years before the war between the states, being the scene of the great matches between Lexington and Lecompte in 1855. But all these meetings were autonomous and not responsible to each other nor to any common authority. Metairie was fashionable, but one suspects some of the others were more rough than ready. Leonard W. Jerome conceived the idea of establishing a racetrack and an American jockey club along the line of England's New Market, and in the purpose he was abetted by 49 other life members. The track was Jerome Park, of course, and the American Jockey Club, which had 1,300 members in all, had its subscription room somewhere on Lower Broadway and later moved to the Jerome Mansion at Madison Avenue and 27th Street. Before the war, racing had been largely for men only. I can find you people who wish it were yet. But that war, like others, unsettled a few customs, and Jerome Park opened with social magnificence. The band, for reasons best known to itself, played Orpheus in Hades. The inauguration stakes was won by John Hunter's Kentucky, one of the few great triumvirate, Kentucky, Asteroid, and Norfolk, all sons of Lexington, foaled in the same year, and none of them ever beaten, except on the one occasion two of them met in the same race. The story goes that Jerome lifted his daughter, Jenny, to the back of the victorious horse, a performance which was cheered by General Ulysses Grant and all the other 8,000 spectators, except Adelina Patty, who was very much put out for reasons that we'll skip. However, there are no remaining witnesses because Colonel Matt Wynn did not see this inaugural from the seat of his father's wagon. He held out for the first Derby 9 years later. Though genealogy in this space is largely confined to horses, it may be pertinent to note that Jenny Jerome, having got this fine start in life, subsequently became the mother of Winston Churchill. Jerome Park, at the time of the inaugural, was in Westchester County, but the city annexed it in 1873, and about 15 years later began to make noises about making it into a reservoir. Jerome and John A. Morris first made a stab at Van Cortlandt Park, but the city had their fingers on that, too, and they eventually built Morris Park, 2 miles from Jerome. Morris Park took over in 1889, though there were two or three fitful meetings at Jerome later. The control changed from the New York Jockey Club to the Westchester Racing Association in 1895, and Morris Park lasted until 1905. At that point, seeing the owners of the property were getting gay about the lease, the Westchester Racing Association built Belmont Park, and the headquarters of racing moved from the Bronx to Long Island. Meanwhile, the rather scant authority of the American Jockey Club, which nevertheless wrote the rules for all metropolitan racing, had been made firmer in the Board of Control of 1891, and this crystallized into the present Jockey Club in 1894. Somewhere along the line, it bought the American Stud Book from Sanders D. Bruce, and it eventually became the supreme authority in American racing, both as to rules and registration. The State Racing Commission later took most of its authority, but at that time, American racing had been firmly formed. You can't get away from it. The whole business started up in the Bronx. So did the Widener Chute. Jerome Park built a straightaway in 1874, and Morris Park had the downhill Eclipse Chute, which became known as the Toboggan Slide and gave its name to the Toboggan Handicap. Belmont didn't have the present chute when it opened, but it had one, nevertheless. A perennial wonder to this observation is why Belmont Park is not more popular than it is. Not that the plan on Hempstead Turnpike is exactly left to the bats and owls, or that the lizard can sun himself on the steps of the Turf and Field Club. But the point is that, in spaciousness and appearance, Belmont lies over the other metropolitan tracks like ice cream over hay, and the quality of its racing is the highest in the nation. The daily average distribution there is in excess of 50,000. These aren't idle figures either. Whether the world will beat a path to your door if you build a better mousetrap is between you and Thoreau. But if you are a better touch, you will presently be the center of radiating four-lane highways. Still, while Belmont runs a little ahead of the other Long Island tracks in attendance and betting, it isn't as far ahead as the size of the plant and the quality of its horses seems to warrant. The explanation has been offered that the horses are too far away to suit the customers, and it is true that every race under 1.5 miles has started somewhere over toward Floral Park, and that the long reaches of Belmont's 1.5 mile track make visibility difficult. But since this tourist has been assured that the customers came only to bet and have no interest in the horses as such, this explanation limps a little, like a 3-5 favorite. It has also been publicly explained that Belmont has persisted in August Belmont's racing is for the rich tradition. The implication is that other tracks have had men posted at the Long Island station to welcome the Praetorian with open arms, ply him with fine viands, and give him to the total Zeta winners. This is not even seen for the promotion at any of the tracks, and is slightly below what you would expect for a benefit euchre party at Athens, Tennessee. Dignity, you know. Also, Belmont was more right than he knew. Only the rich can buck a game with a 15% takeout. It is true that Belmont began by being very English with the spring meeting based on the features at Newmarket and Epsom Downs, and the fall session intended to combine the best features of Sandown, Ascot, and Doncaster. It was not, in fact, until 1920 that Belmont gave up running its races the wrong way of the track in the English style, though not all English races are run clockwise. But in these days, all men are equal before the totalizator, and with his admission ticket, the customer gets a license to live, which is all he gets locally anyway. To get back to the Belmont Stakes, the Bronx has one more score. The Belmont was inaugurated in 1867. And the winner was Ruthless, under the scarlet silks of Frances Morris. She was one of a notable group of fillies known as the Barbarous Battalion, which pinned everybody's ears back in the 60s. The others were remorseless, relentless, regardless, and merciless, and they all, out of the mare, brought barbarity. The point is that they were bred at Morris's stud at Throg's Neck, a couple of miles from the exit to the Bronx Whitestone Bridge, though the bridge wasn't available at the time. Jerome, whose memory is perpetuated by the Jerome Handicap, runs as nearly as dates permit to the anniversary of that inaugural of Jerome Park. He was one of 8 brothers. 3 of them were farmers. 2 went into business, 1 being highly successful, as was Leonard on Wall Street. The other 2 became ministers, but even one of these picked up $40,000 in a speculation which was based incredibly on mulberry trees. So no wonder Churchill would take a chance. That's written by Joe Palmer. And how we doing? Did you ever get a hold of Steve? Oh, great. All right, well, the mayor sent the first defense since his first crop came out running. Reads like a who's who of racing. Grade one winners, grade one producers, the list just goes on and on. He covered 117 mares just last year, many of them Judmont's finest. And if you have a first defense to sell when runners from the last few crops hit the races, by first defense, watch out. Give Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry a call at Judmont. The number is 859-272-7629. There have been a whole lot of Mayfoals walking to the winner's circle after winning a major stakes race. And if you have a really nice mare, there may be room for you. First defense stands for 15,000 live foal. Also, at Judmont is the grade one stakes winner and, like first defense, proven grade one sire, Mizzen Mass. Mizzen Mass, in fact, has sired six grade one stakes winners and has the unique distinction of having sired two winners of grade one Breeders' Cup races in the same year. He stands for 20,000 live foal. Once again, give Garrett O'Rourke, Aaron Fry a call at Judmont and see the website at judmont.com. Well, in stakes over the weekend, Frack Daddy, raised at Winchester Farm for Nancy M. Leonard, won the Grade 2 $200,000 Eclipse Stakes. That was at Woodbine. Scat Daddy won the Grade 3 Ben Allahandy. That's Scat. Frack Daddy, I should say. Frack Daddy won the Grade 3 Ben Allahandy at Keeneland back in April. The opening verse stakes at Churchill Downs went to Wrigley Ready, bred by Grapestock. That's a division of Vinery. That win boosted his earnings to over $1,423,000. And the $200,000 Mountain View Stakes in Pennsylvania went to Gunfighter, bred by John Gunther. Last Gunfighter is accumulated earnings of more than $1,140,000. So longevity and soundness are other products of Macaulay Feeds. Through last weekend, runners raised on Macaulay Feeds have won 79 stakes this year. 48 graded stakes, 9 grade 1. So the record speaks for itself. For maximum results, use products from Macaulay Brothers, the first feed mill in the nation to produce products exclusively for the horse. For more information, get in touch with Mike Warren or David Longmire at 859-873-3333. See the website at MacaulayBros.com. And, of course, you're always welcome to stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. That's Macaulay Brothers, the best. And that's where it's all about the horse. Well, last Sunday at Woodbine, the Grade 2 Eclipse Stakes was won by Frack Daddy, a 4-year-old colt from the first crop by Scat Daddy. Frack Daddy has earned over $645,000 now. He went into the Eclipse Stakes off a win in Keeneland's Grade 3 Ben Allah Handicap and a game fourth in the Grade 1 Man of War at Belmont. Scat Daddy has sired 25 stakes winners in his first three crops, 16 have won graded stakes, 5 Grade 1, a Group 1 stakes, and 3 champion 2-year-olds. Scat Daddy was a brilliant Grade 1 stakes winner at both 2 and 3, earned over $1,334,000. He stands for $30,000 due in a foal stands at Nurses, and he stands at Coolmore's Ashford Stud. We've all seen May foals walk into the winner's circle after a major stakes win, so give Ashford Stud a call at 859-873-7088. They have just the right horse for you, and ask about those stallions over at Ashford Stud. See the website at Coolmore.com.
Sally Van winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally Van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
All right. Well, I have Steve Moody with me now. Steve is the author of the Kentucky Handicapper Sheep, which is published by Bloodstock Research Information Services. And good morning, Steve.
Morning, Ursel.
How you doing this morning?
Oh, we're watching them head to the post for the first at Belmont today. It'll be quite a day up there.
Oh, boy, it will be. I tell you what. I'm going to ask you about the first for the early times, the Mint Julep Stakes. Down at Churchill, then we'll see who you're going to try to beat California Chrome with today.
All right. Well, in the Mint Julep, which is the it gets to that race. That's the eighth race, eh? Fast and firm at Churchill, and no scratches in the eight. Some overweights, but aren't we all?
Touche.
field of eight in the Mint Julep, 1/16 on the turf. Fillies and mares 3 and up. This is grade 3, and a pretty well matched group. Ursel, there's not too many in here that you can just say, well, you can pitch him. Maybe one, possibly two, but any of the other six, I think, wouldn't be a huge surprise in here. You've got Ms. Ida, of course, coming back. Made her, I think, first start of the year back on Derby Day in the Distaff Turf Mile. And had to need that race. Same thing for the three horse. I'm already second. She was in that race as well. And I finished sixth in there, but that was her first race in of the year. I think she is going to move forward off that race. You look at the four-horse Hot Tempo, comes in from Louisiana, and really on top of her game now, coming off back-to-back wins. And I think you've got to give her a big chance in here. So very tough race, Ursel. I went for the three. I'm already sexy coming out of that tightener on Derby Day. I'm going to give her a very slight edge over Hot Tempo. Ms. Ida, who I picked on Derby Day when she made that comeback race. And so I didn't pick her today, so you can probably go ahead and give the Pines the trophy since I jumped off of her today. But we're going to go 3, 4, 5 in the Mint Julep with I'm Already Sexy, Hot Tempo, Ms. Ida.
I think Ms. Ida won that race last year, didn't she?
She did indeed. She is the defending.
Yeah, proud citizen filly. A mare. She's a mare now.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to the big one. Who are you liking to Belmont today?
Well, I've been kind of back and forth all week, but I finally settled on the Dale Roman's horse, Metal Count. I really like the way that he's coming up to the race. I think pedigree-wise, he's maybe as the best pedigree maybe in the race for a mile and a half. And I know Dale Romans was extremely high on this horse leading up to the Derby, and of course he had a terrible trip in there, especially through the stretch. Just got absolutely sawed off by Danza at about the inside the eighth pole, and completely lost all chance. I don't know if he'd have been good enough to win, even if he'd have gotten through the hole, but he certainly would have been, I think, in the hunt. And when Danzig just came right over in front of him, it was, he just shut the door, and it was, it was over with. He ended up finishing eighth, but he's really worked well coming into the race, I think he's going to be dangerous in here. I give Toneless a good chance. Of course, won the Peter Pan, pretty impressive. The only issue there is that was such a big race for him, so much better than any of his others. And then also was on an off track, which is not going to be the case today. So you kind of have to wonder if that maybe is a little bit of an aberration. And then, of course, the favorite, always seems to run his race. He just keeps grinding out wins, and he's going to be tough to beat. And obviously a lot of people are going to be rooting for him. And if he wins it, well, It'd be quite a coup and something we've looked for 36 years. But 3-5, he'll have to win without me. So we're gonna go a medal count 20-1 and let it ride.
Well, all right. Well, I just wondered who it was going to be this time. You were talking about a Belmont pedigree. I would have thought that Windstar's horse, Commissioner, by AP Indy out of a touch-go mare, you know, by a Belmont winner out of a mare by a Belmont winner. So,
yeah, well, he certainly qualifies, too. I guess the issue with him might be the fact that he's so lightly raced, but he wouldn't be a surprise. I mean, he wouldn't be a total surprise, Ursula. When I play the pick four up there today, I might throw him in there on a ticker.
Yeah, I kind of think I went with California Chrome in the Derby, and I went with him in the Preakness. I'm going to go with him again. I tell you for a couple of reasons. First of all, the horse's demeanor. Nothing bothers this horse. And he rates, you know, he'll do whatever his rider asks, and he, you know, it's that's what it takes in a race like this. And I just hope Espinosa gives him a good ride. He certainly has in the first two races, but I think if he can, you know, get a decent fractions earlier, you know, in front of him, I think he's going to be tough. I really do. He just I love to watch him run, and he just nothing bothers. Like I say, nothing bothers him. So that's the reason I like him. That some of these horses in here, well, there's a bunch of them in there that could beat him, but I can't single one out. I really can't. So I'm going to go with him again. So anytime I can pick 2 out of 3 winners, that's pretty good. And that's what he's done for me so far this year. So anyway, well, it's a great card, isn't it?
Oh, it's a fabulous card up there, Ursula. 10 stakes races, 9 of them graded, and 6 of them grade ones. Races 2 through, they just ran the first just now, so starting with this next race, the second all the way up through the Belmont, they're all stakes, and all but one of them are graded, and 6 grade ones. The pick 6 is a grade one every race. The Met, you know, they've moved the Met Mile from, you know, Memorial Day to today. It's going to be a tremendous race with Palace Malice and Normandy Invasion, and there's a whole bunch of others in there that could win it. It's a tremendous race, so it'll be a great day.
All right, well, I got to go home and get mowing so I can get through in time to watch these races. What do you want, Jackie?
Did you ask him about the Closed Hatches race?
How do you like that race?
It's not part of the pick four, so I really didn't
spend a lot of time on
that
it.
Much between, you know, Closed Hatches, Beholder, and Princess of Silmar. I mean, you know, you have to think one of those three is there's only 6 horses in it.
Yeah.
And one of those three is going to win it, but of those three, I don't know that I have a favorite.
Well, I'm sure Beholder will go off the favorite, but anyway, well, we're just curious about that because interesting race. That is an interesting race, yeah. All right, Steve. Well, thank you so much. It's been Steve Moody with the Kentucky Handicap Retreat. And, Steve, I don't know if you know it yet or not, but we're on from 8 till 10 starting next week.
Yeah, I was driving home. I went out to get some groceries and driving home listening to you all and was startled out of my stupor with that news. So, I'm aware.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll talk to you later on if we can get you that early or not. But I know you stay up all night handicapping and then like to sleep. So, But
we'll try to figure out something.
All right, Steve. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week. You can buy that handicapping sheet anywhere there's a racing form and being sold. And also you can go to brisnet.com, BRISNET.com. All right. Let's see where I am now. Jazzle. Speaking of Belmont Stakes winners, Jazzle won the classic Grade 1 Belmont Stakes. So did his half-sister, the champion filly Rags to Riches. And Jazzle is now a proven South graded stakes winner. He's a South Comediante. He won his third Grade 1 race back in April, then came back on May 18th, won another stakes race. He's already been elected to a Horse of the Year down in South America. He's won 8, been in the money in 14 of his 16 starts. And Comediante was one of 8 2013 stakes horses, 5 of them stakes winners, 3 of them graded stakes winners, by Jazzle. Jazzle, of course, by Seeking Gold, and from one of the greatest female families in the book, stands at Shadwell Farm. And give stand manager Kent Barnes and talk to him about a season to Jazzle. There's nothing wrong with a May foal, of course, and because he was originally scheduled to go to South America, but instead stayed in Kentucky, well, Kent might be able to give you a pleasant surprise on when it comes to a season. So Kent's number is 224-4585. Also standing at Shadwell, a Breeders' Cup champion, Albertus Maximus, his first foal to yearlings, and the proven sires of graded stakes winners, Daher, Interdab, and Invisor. The number again, 224-4585, and see the website, ShadwellFarm.com.
Want unlimited access to pedigree reports on more than 2 million foals for a low annual cost? Then Brisnet's American Produce Records is for you. Updated in real time and available on demand at brisnet.com/APR and optimized for tablet and mobile. The APR Online is the place for instant access to a wealth of information on North American thoroughbreds dating back more than a century. The annual price, $275. Visit brisnet.com/APR and discover why American Produce Records has been the choice of bloodstock and racing professionals for generations and why new generation is using APR Online.
Well, Colonel John was the nation's third-ranked freshman sire last year, and he's the third-ranked Kentucky-based second-year sire this year. The most recent stakes winner by Colonel John came on Memorial Day. That was at Churchill, when Southern Honey won the Grade 3 winning color stakes. She's from Colonel John's first crop. So is Concave, winner of the Grade 2 Sorrento Stakes at Del Mar and placed in the Grade 1 Del Mar Debutante Stakes and the Grade 3 Delta Downs Princess Stakes. And here's Johnny, winner of the $100,000 OBS Championship Stakes and placed in Gulfstream's Juvenile Turf Stakes and the Kentucky Downs Juvenile. And Colonel Joan, placed in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Phillies Turf Stakes and in the $100,000 Surfer Girl Stakes, that's at Santa Anita. And Thunder Run, placed in the $100,000 Sunday Silent Stakes at Louisiana Downs, and also Sweet Southern Dame, placed in the $100,000 Arlington Lassie and the $136,000 Ontario Debutante. All those now from Colonel John's first crop. Colonel John, a multiple Grade 1 stakes winner of over $1,779,000. He's by Tis now, stands for $17,500, doing a full stance of nurses, and he stands at Windstar Farm. Inquiries to Darren Fox, Sean Tugel, or Kyle Wilson at 859-873-1717. See the website at windstarfarm.com. A couple? Well, do them. Give me a chance to rest my tonsils.
Get my specs on here. Masterson Station Park, that we are so happy to have. It's so nice to be able to just load up and go ride. Having their jump around show jumping schooling night from 4 to 8 p.m. Wednesday evening the 18th. Now that would be a week from this Wednesday. First trip $10, second trip around same course $10. If they start with at 4 o'clock with starter 2 to 2-3 and then they move on 5 to 6 up to 2-3 to 2-6 and so on. If you want more information about it, go to Masterson Equestrian Trust. You can find it easily. They're also on Facebook, and that helps because they put up pictures of what's coming up and announcements and all that good stuff. It's really super. Now, the International Museum of the Horse has a Ted Bassett exhibit because, well, for one thing, he's done so much to help the horse park and all that good stuff. Of course, he's President Keeneland. But it's a good thing to stop in and see that. Kentucky Thoroughbred Farm Managers Club, 22nd Annual Challenge Golf Cup Golf. Annual Challenge Cup Golf Scramble will take place Tuesday.
That's kind of confusing.
That is confusing. It's confusing to say and read. June 24th, anyway, at the University Club. How about that? Ressie was telling me that that is the most beautiful place and wonderful place to play golf. He said the greens are like what?
Cotton.
He said the ball just lays there. It's just beautiful.
Ah.
So this is a good opportunity.
I could never find them myself.
Well.
In the trees.
Yeah. Anyway, proceeds go to Kimmy, Kentucky Equine Management Internship. Oh, and the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation, 12 p.m. Shotgun Start. And everybody on the team does not have to be a member of the Thoroughbred Farm Managers Club. Call Gus Cook, 621-4634.
Well, the first Fool's Memorial is awarded to 2-year-olds, man. He's batting 1,000. 3 starters, 3 winners. All 3 won at first asking. All 3 were fillies. All 3 won maiden specials. All 3 won on the same day, May 30th. Unbridled reward, a $330,000 grad of the OBS March sale, bred by Hargreaves and Sandra Sexton and Silver Fern Farm, won by nearly 8 lengths at Churchill. Leatrice, bred by John Gunther, won by nearly 4 lengths at Pimlico. Strawberry Babu, bred by Liberation Farm and Brandywine Farm, won by nearly 3 lengths at Lone Star. So guess who's the nation's number one ranked freshman sire? Warrior's Reward, a grade 1 stakes winner by Medaglia d'Oro, stands at Spencer Farm. On May 31, I Got It All, a 3-year-old son of Tis Wonderful won the $100,000 Springfield Stakes at Arlington. His score follows by just 7 days, the win of Tis Naz, another son of Tis Wonderful, in the Grover Buddy Delk Memorial, that's in Delaware. Tis Wonderful is the sire of 11 stakes horses, 6 stakes winners, 3 graded stakes winners in his first crop. Tis Wonderful, an undefeated multiple graded stakes winner, too, is one of the most precocious sons of Tis now. Both Warriors Reward and Tis Wonderful stand at Spencery Farm. Inquiries to Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, or Mark Toothacker at 859-294-0030 and see the website at SpenceryFarm.com.
All righty. Let's see. What are we doing now? You got anything left to do?
Yeah, I can do something.
Oh, okay.
I got a. How much time have I got? I got 5 minutes. I'll tell you what I'll do. I can read another Joe Palmer on the Belmont Stakes.
All right.
I'll do it. This is written by Joe Palmer back in the 1940s. A few years ago, a trainer down in Maryland was doing no good whatever with a horse. Looked like it could run some, but it wouldn't win. Then he got a letter from a patient in the state insane asylum, a fellow that used to train horses, and had worked around the secretary's office afterward. Quit sprinting that horse, the letter said. He wants to go a distance. So, because nothing seemed to matter, our hero picked out a distance race in the condition book and dumped his horse in. Came home rolling. Sovereignty returned. Joy, as they say, reigned supreme. Then the story got out. Isn't it wonderful, people would say. Poor old Ed. He's off his rocker and they shut him up. But still he knows more about your horses than you do. And he's in, you lose. But it seems to add up to the notion that a suggestion from any source is worth considering. So it is definitely moved in this corner that Belmont Park recognized the 20th century. To be sure, it will not be accomplished. Fact now for almost 50 years. But let's get in ahead of this one. Let it be understood that I like Belmont. Maybe better than any track I know. It hasn't the homey charm of, say, Keeneland or the intimacy of Pimlico, or the nostalgic somnolence of Saratoga. But you don't get those in areas served by the Long Island Railroad. But taking it all around, Belmont is the top year after year. It puts up the most money. It draws the best horses. Go out to Belmont and you'll get the best there is. For instance, there's the Suburban, the pearl of the handicaps. There are a few handicaps with more money, but there is no other with such a whispering down through the years. Henry of Navarre, Ben Brush, Beldame, Fry Rock, Greyleg, Crusader, Equipoise, 830, Armed, Assault. There's no owner with money enough to stay in the game, but would rather have the Suburban Trophy than a handful of richer races. It is the sixth race, May 31, at Belmont. Then it will be the Coach and Club American Oaks, prize filly race of the season. Belmont's present president, George D. Widener, won it in 1918 with Rose d'Or, and in 1936 with High Fleet. And maybe he'll win it again with Watermill. It will be the sixth race, June 2, at Belmont. A couple of Saturdays later, there will be the Belmont Stakes, the true test for the three-year-olds. What a whispering there will be here. Ruthless, Harry Bassett, Duke of Magenta, Spendthrift, Granada, Hanover, Commando. It stretches out too long for listing, but the names are like plucked strings. It will be the sixth race, June 12, at Belmont. In May, this tour saw diverse citizens from Roanoke, Virginia, and Paoli, Indiana, crying to the third julep, one plenty, two's too many, and three ain't half enough, as the horses filed from under the stands at Churchill Downs to a very inadequate rendition of My Old Kentucky Home. I could have played it better on a comb. And you can see ancient Maryland turf riders try to pull in their stomachs as Maryland, My Maryland, rolls on the afternoon air before the Preakness. Well, the Belmont's a better race than either of them. And who has to tell you so? Why, a Kentuckian, now probably barred. If you doubt it, read down the list of winners, then dig in the books to see how they went into the stud and sent the great racers back. So while I'm probably not going to get it, I want a band. I don't want a bunch of bums with horns either. I want a band with uniforms that fit and a drum major 9 feet tall. I want a band that can spell out Native Diver on the steeplechase course, and I want a guy dressed like an apostrophe in case it has to spell Ram of War. I don't care if it plays the sidewalks of New York or Camptown Races when the Belmont Field comes out, but I want it to play something that says to the assembled multitude holding the return half of the Long Island Railroad tickets, "Look, chums, this isn't the sixth race. This is the Belmont." That's Joe Palmer, written back in the 1940s. All right, let's look at the... well, here, I've got to do this, too. My goodness, and real quick. Kentucky Bred winners from last week. The American Oaks Grade 1 went to Room Service, a more than ready filly bred by Gary and Mary West. The Clubhouse Ride won the Californian Grade 2, bred by Mr. and Mrs. Sid and Jenny Craig, that's who it was. The Eclipse Stakes Grade 2 went to Frack Daddy by Scat Daddy, bred by Henry M. Leonard Living Trust. The Canal Cup Grade 2 up at Woodbine went to Escaper, bred by Richard Caster and Nancy Caster. The Opening Verse Stakes went to Wrigley Ready, a More Than Ready, bred by Grape Stock. The Penn Oaks at Penn National went to the Broken Brow Filly Interrupted, bred and owned by Penn Oak Stud. Last Gunfighter won the Mountain View Stakes up at Penn National. He is by First Samurai, bred by John Gunther. The Penn Mile Stakes went to Bobby's Kitten, and Bobby's Kitten is bred by Ken and Sarah Ramsey. The Seattle Handicap at Emerald Downs, the City by the Bay, bred by Susan Donaldson. The RMM Stakes was won by Joint Return. That's an Include, bred by Virginia Moore, and the Include Syndicate. The Assiniboia Stakes race, the Golden Boy Stakes, was won by Northern Contract, bred by Ron McCauley. And listen to this. Yesterday, the $200,000 Bell Cup Invitational Stakes, of course, that's a steeplechase, Charming Kitten, bred and owned by Ken and Sarah Ramsey. My goodness gracious. Now they went in steeplechase races. Way to go, Ken. My golly, he knows what he's doing.
He's hilarious.
He's something else, isn't he? All right. Winners out of the Thoroughbred Center. Since last week's show, we had 54 last month. Let's see. Paul McAtee won one at Indiana Downs. Matt Frazier won a quarter horse race up at Indiana Downs. Tim Hsu won another race at Mountaineer. Donald Hunt won one at Belterra. Jimmy Cargan won one at Churchill. Dale Loveland at Mountaineer. Judy Woodbury at Mountaineer. And Stacy Slovis, that's Dr. Slovis's wife, won one at Presque Isle. And this reminder, I'm going to say it one more time here while I've got time. We will be on starting next Saturday from 8 until 10. From 8 until 10. And that's a permanent time. slot for us from now on. So hope you listen. Just wake up a little earlier. I'll give you a wake-up call if you want me to call you. And we will talk to you next week.